This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and this is the evening edition with Sharmila. Today we are looking at a global study by the World Health Organization that says over 700,000 people actually die every year due to working overly long hours. Now, this is a study that was conducted with the International Labour Organization, and they found that, quote-unquote, working long hours is responsible for about one-third of the total estimated work-related burden of disease. And that notion of working long hours is described as working 55 hours or more per week, and that actually is classified as a health hazard. So just in 2016 alone, that study found that 745,000 deaths were due to working long hours, and that includes deaths caused by stroke and deaths caused by heart disease. And this just as a mode of comparison, if you look at 2000, that number has actually increased from 2000 to 2016 by 29%. What makes this study perhaps interesting and alarmingly close in many ways is the location, because the study found that people living in Southeast Asia and the Western Pacific region in particular were most impacted by this tendency to, to both work overly long hours and then to actually have severe disease and possibly death due to them. And just to look at some of those numbers and break it down a little bit, those working 54 hours weekly or more had a 35% higher chance of getting a stroke and a 17% higher risk of dying from heart disease. That's in comparison to people who work 35 to 40 hours a week. And when you look at it from the lens of gender, these work-related diseases are more significant in men, with reports showing that 72% of these deaths were actually happening among men. And just in terms of age, almost three quarters of those deaths were among those who were aged, middle-aged and above. So the thing that I think that becomes more interesting is that if we look back at how we've been working over the course of the last year, perhaps it's a little too close for large-scale studies to be done, but anecdotally, certainly, we've heard a lot about people finding that the balance between work and personal life has increasingly blurred. Working from home has caused people to not be able to draw boundaries between when they start work and when they stop work. I certainly know that I have many friends who tell me that they are almost expected to be on call at any time. Meetings can be called at night because there's that idea that, well, you're just jumping onto a Zoom call. You can do that at any time, right? You can do it from home. You're working from home anyway. And so I think that the pandemic has worsened the impacts of some of these. And it's also something that we're not necessarily talking enough about just because it's been generally a chaotic time for everyone. If we look at the existing scenario here in Malaysia, we, of course, don't yet have specific data on what's happening over the course of the last year. But if you look at a 2019 AIA Vitality Survey, and that looked at the health of nearly 18,000 employees from 230 Malaysian companies, that study found that 53% of employees in that get less than 7 hours of sleep daily, and that sleep deprivation caused by overworking and this quote-unquote hustle culture among young employees was in fact a real problem. And many of these people work more than 40 hours weekly. And a report by Khazanah Research Institute showed that half of Malaysian workers in 2017 actually work 48 hours or more in 1 week. So these are all worrying numbers. And certainly, I think when they translate into the real health impacts that we might go through due to these long hours and due to the kinds of stress that we might be going through because of this, I think it translates into long-term impact that we may not realize or even think about very often, but is certainly worth taking into account. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, this idea that working long hours, more than just causing stress or being unpleasant or not allowing us personal time, could actually be causing a long-term impact on our health and even leading to death in many cases. So we want to know from you, have you been working longer hours since the pandemic started? And do you find that your work hours are impacting your health? You can call us, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And coming up after this, we'll speak more about this with Professor Dr. Alvin Ng, who is a clinical psychologist. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is just coming up to 5:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. And we're talking about, well, about how too much work could potentially kill you. In the wake of a study released by the WHO that said more than 700,000 people have been found to have died from overwork-related diseases. So we want to know from you whether you've been working longer hours since the pandemic started. What has it been like for you? And do you find that these long work hours are impacting your health? You can call us, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now to help us make sense of, the study and how it might be impacting us, we're crossing over to clinical psychologist, Professor Dr. Alvin Ng. Professor, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jamila.
So to start off with, what are your thoughts on the study? Do the findings on these overwork-related deaths, do they surprise you?
No, actually. We normally have the phrase, you know, we work ourselves to death. Well, there you go. But the numbers are staggering, isn't it? Several hundred over 1,000 a year die from overwork. And it, being WHO, they are usually very, very rigorous in the way they run their research. So, yeah. Something that should open up our eyes and to do something about it.
How does this relate to Malaysia? Are we generally a nation with overly long working hours?
From my reading of the literature, when it comes to comparison with other Southeast Asian countries, we are kind of like average, I think, compared to some other countries. They tend to work harder and longer. But this day and age, I would say that I guess we are comparable. This is pre-COVID, yeah. I'm talking about pre-COVID, but given that the pandemic, you know, has been here for more than a year, we're pretty much hard workers. But again, depends on where you are in the country. If you're in the Klang Valley, you know, your work hours are usually much higher than in the, you know, other parts of the country, and just like any other country.
So you mentioned Southeast Asia, and that's interesting because the report did find that these work-related deaths are actually most significant among employees in Southeast Asia. How does this idea of work culture factor into this?
Work ethics would usually determine how we view our work. And for Southeast Asia, I would say just basically East Asia. There's this thing that we call Confucian dynamism, you know, this whole idea of Confucius say you must work very hard. And there's this whole idea that being busy is good. So you need to look busy, act busy, be actually busy, because that is supposed to be a good thing to do. But, you know, forgetting that if we are overly busy, then we don't really take care of ourselves. And that's where we get into trouble. So yes, our work ethics can maintain our long working hours, and that's where we need to really, you know, step back and have a look at what's going on and to do something about it.
You mentioned earlier that you mentioned pre-pandemic, right? And
yes.
One of the things that the World Health Organization has said that this culture of overwork may actually have worsened during the pandemic. Could you hone in on how COVID-19 might be adding to this overwork?
Oh, wow. It's something that I think most people will know the answer to already because, you know, many of us are working from home due to lockdown. And because of that, we have less boundaries when it comes to, you know, work and home because we are working at home. And, you know, there's hardly any, I guess, like I said, boundaries. Let's say if you are at home with the kids, you know, kids are supposed to be at school. The typical routine or arrangement that you have as a family are disrupted. So there's extra effort that's needed to manage all these things. So you're working on this extra effort. At the same time, working in isolation and remotely from the rest of your team takes also extra effort. So, you know, it tires you out. And being at the screen, like what I'm doing right now, I've been having back-to-back meetings myself the whole day, and it's very tiring. I'm working extra hard also. But then again, academics don't have any stop button. We tend to work anyway, so it takes one to know one, I suppose. I'm guilty of overworking. Hopefully, I won't die of it. Overall, we are working much harder than usual. And from what I understand, the study was pre-pandemic. So we can just expect more people being affected by overwork.
So let's talk about the impact of all of this, right? What are the most common overwork-related diseases that you see, and what contributes to them?
A very common one is what we call burnout syndrome. And it's an actual condition that is recognized by the WHO. And this is something you can see in the International Classification of Diseases 11th edition. Burnout is in there. It's a kind of categorized, I guess you can call it a disease. And it's characterized by exhaustion, like being very tired, fatigue, to the point that when you're physically fatigued, you are also likely to be mentally fatigued, emotionally fatigued, and that's where depression comes in. You also start having, bigger, I guess, I can't think now after a long day. You become more cynical about work. You're less connected, very apathetic towards work. You don't care anymore. I mean, all these are part of burnout. And it's very common, actually. It's getting very, very... a daily thing that you see a lot of people going through. And because of that, you have reduced professional efficacy. Your productivity is lower. You also get more discipline issues, which is not a good thing for the company. There's absenteeism and higher turnover rate, which also increases, legal costs. That's going to be bad branding for your company. So basically, it's like a spiral downwards, not just for the individual, but for the whole company. And this is where it's really important to understand mental health within, in your employees. Probably rambling on a bit there.
No, actually, I'm glad that you brought that up, because the study specifically points out stroke and heart disease, right? It strikes me that for a lot of people, making that link between stress / mental well-being and an actual physical condition, that's where the disconnect is. Do you find that people often ignore that mental health can actually contribute to physical conditions?
Yeah, because the stigma with mental health or anything mental is so great that, there's a likelihood of people just ignoring it or just pushing it away, saying, no, it's not a mental thing, I'm just tired. But we need to understand that mental and physical are basically together. Physical health affects mental health. Mental health definitely affects physical health. Mental well-being is part of physical well-being. Getting physically better involves you also being mentally better, being able to organize, plan, integrate your lifestyle so that physically you get better. You need to have that mental capacity to function that way. And similarly, for you to feel mentally well, you should also feel physically well. Otherwise, when you suffer physically, you suffer mentally. And they just both go hand in hand.
You mentioned a few signs of burnout earlier. Now, stress, of course, is one of the major risk factors when we talk about work-related diseases. What are some signs that we can look out for that we might be taking on too much stress?
Like I said earlier, if you start feeling overly tired to the point that you're not able to function, that's one. Secondly, if you become very cynical towards work, towards the passion that you used to have, That's a sign. And speaking of passion, if you just feel that you no longer enjoy the stuff that you usually enjoy, that's a huge sign. And routines being disrupted, changes in your eating and sleeping patterns, those are also very big indicators that, you know, you need to seek help, because any kind of change that way would not just lead to more stress on your part, but because there are changes within you that affects other people get stressed up as well. You know, whether we like it or not, we are living in a system. And when we are not functioning, we cause disruption in the system, as if there's not enough disruption in the world these days. So I would say that taking care of ourselves is our moral and ethical responsibility.
Could this happen even if you actually enjoy your job?
Yes. That's a fantastic question, actually. A lot of people think that they are not burning out because they are actually enjoying their job. But when that happens, you tend to ignore your body. You feel this high that tells you, I can do this, I can bear with this, I can go with only just 2-3 hours sleep. But eventually you crash. And so, you know, overly enjoying, well, enjoying is good, but you also need to be mindful of what's actually going on. So again, taking a step back to just be aware of what's going on is very, very important to, I mean, for your own well-being.
So what can we do on our part? How do we set boundaries and develop a healthier working lifestyle?
Firstly, it's always easier said than done.
Yep, absolutely.
What we can do is to firstly be aware. It starts with awareness. It starts with awareness of yourself, how you are affecting yourself physically and mentally, how your well-being is affecting other people. Like I said earlier, we live in a system. We need to just look at the connections. Because any kind of extra of what we are doing would mean something less in other parts of our life. We need to review that and to keep on checking what's too much, what's too little. And the thing is, we can never have or we can never achieve like a static balance. Too many people think that balance means a static point. But the thing is, we are constantly in motion, and therefore we need to keep on moving to, I guess, in inverted commas, achieve that certain balance, but to be also mindful that as soon as you achieve that balance, things are going to change. So you got to change accordingly. How exactly? Well, it's up to us to innovate, to adapt. And we don't have to do it alone. So this is where social connection is very, very important. And that's what I would suggest, to connect.
What about on the part of the employers? Because it's not just on the staff to do this, right? What should companies put in place to make sure that their employees aren't being overworked?
Ooh, many, many things. Probably won't have enough time on this show, but basically it starts with compassionate leadership. Knowing what your employees need and to provide them as best you can. And where there's not enough resources, it's good to pull together what we actually have as a company, as an organization. Because given the pandemic now, we all are under-resourced. It's very difficult. Where I'm at the university, we haven't got enough people. So we just have to make do. But at the same time, be mindful that we can do our best, try our best. There's always this going the extra mile bit, which is good, but it is not sustainable. Thinking as a system helps us understand that every individual count, and if something doesn't work right, then we have to address the system before a person actually crashes. When a person crashes, then, you know, again, you disrupt the rest of the system, which would imply that other people have to work extra hard to compensate. And that's something we want to prevent as much as possible. So what companies can do is to have a system in place that is able to detect if, for example, a certain KPI is not being met, have a look at it to see if you can reprioritize, or to see where certain kinds of support is needed. And if you really cannot give that support, then you might want to reconsider a different set of KPIs that's more doable. Get real. You know, that you can't do everything. You want to give your extra mile again. Try to do it without killing people. Yeah. I know it's a general answer, but putting policies in place that looks into the well-being of your employees is very, very important. I think too many companies don't look at it seriously enough. Yes, they look into physical well-being, but mental well-being usually is very much neglected. And I would really encourage every company to invest in mental well-being, because otherwise you're just going to, you know, go downhill on your productivity.
Prof, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me, and all the best.
Thank you. You too. That was clinical psychologist Professor Dr. Alvin Ng speaking to us about really overwork and what we can try and do to mitigate that. And on that note, we've been asking you, have you been working longer hours since the pandemic started? And whether you find that your work hours are impacting your health? And we've got a couple of messages coming through and we'd love to hear from you. I just wanted to quickly read this from Stephen, who said, yes, I fully agree that long working hours will impact health in some way, not only physically, but also mentally. Never neglect the effect of mental health towards your physical body, which is really exactly what Dr. Alvin was talking to us about. So keep those thoughts coming. Let us know how your working hours are impacting you. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.